This is the Blue Room. 1 hour, everything Everton.
Radio City Talk.
Hello, welcome. It's the Blue Room. Yes, we are back on. They've allowed us to come back on Radio City Talk to bring you all the fans' perspective from Everton Football Club. We got rid of that other show. It just really wasn't doing the business, was it, lads? So they brought us back. It is me, Peter McPartland. I'm joined in the studio by Matt Jones, Dave Downey, and it's a big Blue Room welcome for making his debut, Paddy Boylan. Gents, are we all right? Have we had a good summer? Are we all rested up?
Yeah, mate, we were back last week.
That wasn't really. That was just a podcast.
Sure, other media commitments.
I don't come in for podcasts, lads. It's radio or nothing for me. I mean, obviously, you were on last week. You did the podcast, so I don't really have to go back over anything over the summer. If you haven't listened to that, get onto iTunes and find the podcast, the Blue Room podcast. There. Let's start with Spurs, lads, because that's the only really place to start. Paddy, I'll start with you. I mean, Saturday, going into the game, were you confident? Were you happy going into it in the new era, the new Ronald Koeman era?
Well, we probably should have been, but to be honest, I wasn't. If you listen to Ronald Koeman's comments before the game, he spoke about Everton what being 70% ready for the game. Then when we saw the team sheet, there was no Lukaku or Coleman. So to be honest, after we got a point from the game, I was pretty happy with that as a result.
Matt, you know, Paddy's just mentioned the 70% figure that Ronald Koeman came out with. I think that stirred some feelings amongst them Evertonians. Some people generally thought Ronald Koeman was in the wrong for coming out with the comments. I thought he was perfectly, you know, within his rights to make that statement, to come out with that in the press conference and almost take expectations down a notch.
Yeah, I've seen a few people saying they thought it was a mind game trick or a trick to kind of cajole something out of the players in terms of inspiring them, but I just got the sense he was being brutally honest. And to be honest, after watching Everton for 2 years and the lack of pressing off the ball, the lack of intensity in the tackles, it didn't surprise me. Because if you're a professional athlete and you're not working to your full capacity for 2 years, it takes a while to build that up. And I think our opponents on Saturday were a good example of that, and the way Pochettino has meticulously instilled the pressing game that they play, the intensity in the defending, the physicality in the plays they've got there as well. It's going to take a while. So I wasn't surprised to read that, but what was encouraging for me was, especially when you compare to how we played against Spurs last time earlier in the year, when it was sort of like, we can tell that you're physically better than us. We know that you're going to press higher than us, so we're just going to sit in and we're going to try and contain you for the first part of the game. We went out and went toe-to-toe with them. We were happy to be physical, putting tackles in, pressing high up the pitch. And that was really encouraging for me in that sense, that Everton kind of went into the game, puffed the chest out and said, this is how we're going to play.
To be fair, Dave, 70% is probably 40% more than we used to last season. So for me, I was quite happy with that figure. But you know, going into the game, Dave, I mean, three at the back. We've seen Martinez try and do that last season. Every time we tried to do it, it was an absolute disaster. You know, it didn't matter who we played there. They always just seemed to be unprepared. Yeah, we're going three at the back for this game. We've got Holgate playing in the back three. And I thought it worked really well.
It did work really well. And it was nice to see a solid, compact Everton. And I think I tweeted at the time, at half time, I haven't seen a more solid 45 from us in a couple of years. I thought Holgate looked assured. He was composed whenever he had to be. When he was called upon, he made some decent tackles. He was okay in the air. One slight liability is Morey, and I think that's a wider issue that's going to be addressed in the coming weeks with Ashley Williams coming in. I don't think he's a bad player. I think he's rash. I think he can be quite reckless. I mean, there's still those moments, and I was looking at a couple of times in the first half when he made marauding runs forward from centre-back, and he doesn't exactly bust the gut to get back. He seems to sort of get this thing in his head that, you know, I'm going to be part of the attack here and I'm going to try and score a goal. I mean, he had a fantastic effort in the second half, to be fair to him, but at what point do you ever see a centre-half in that area on the pitch trying to find goal? So, other than that, though, first 45, brilliant. And it was just the tiredness thing in the end that put paid to our chances of winning the game. I thought we would quite lucky to get out of it with a point, in the sense that Stekelenburg makes two fantastic saves. Seeing a goalkeeper making saves as well, that's really refreshing, because we haven't seen that for a couple of years either.
Just on the system as well, I think whenever we seem to play under Martinez, it seems to be kind of a last resort at the end of like a poor spell of form. I remember in his second season when we went to Hull away, I think it was on New Year's Day, and we played three at the back, and it was kind of like, where's this come from? You know, we haven't seen it. For, I think it's the first time he played it in his tenure. But you look at what they've been doing in pre-season against Espanyol, they played it against Manchester United, they played in that system. So they've obviously been working on it, and it looks as though they've been drilled into how to do it properly. And that's obviously going to make a major difference.
Yeah, when you say last roll of the dice, I think when he threw the dice, Martinez, that was generally the formation he hit. Whatever number it ended up, that's what he was playing.
It's kind of like just throw something at a wall and if it sticks, wasn't it? It was there's no purpose or plan. Yeah. Whereas at the weekend, you could see that they knew how to play the system. They've been working on it.
Yeah, it was. But we got off to a good start. I mean, that was a really encouraging thing. You know, Ross Barkley scoring after 4 minutes, and that was perfect. And one thing that I think we have seen instantly, Paddy, is set piece wise, we look instantly, you know, better straight away, and all in the pre-season. We look good on the set pieces. I think Morales, De La Feu scored from goals. We look better on corners. And on Saturday, that one, I mean, that was... I haven't seen that for a while, where Ross has just put a ball into a danger area and you don't really have to attack those balls. And as we've seen, that one's gone straight in. And for as much as we've moaned in the last 3 years, it's mad that in the first game, we throw one in the box after 4 minutes and it goes in the back of the net.
Well, yeah, some of these changes that Koeman's going to implement are going to take quite a while to come to fruition, I think. But it was pleasing to see, as you said, the change in the way we're defending set pieces, but also attacking them as well. I mean, Barkley scored off the first one, didn't he? And then the second one was an excellent delivery where in the end, Lloris made a fantastic save from Jagielka's header. So, I mean, there's a big improvement there. And, I mean, it's amazing what you can do when you actually work on them in training, isn't it?
There's a couple in the second half as well, wasn't there, from Morales, which got put right into a really good area. I think Dier headed both of them away. But I think Barkley as well, last season, there seemed to be times when he'd take set piece and he'd run up and try and whack it really hard and get like that blend of like curl and power on the shot, which is really hard to do, whereas this one he seemed to just simplify it. And I think one of the things we all agree on, Ross, is that when he does this, he tries to keep his game simple and does the basic things, he's obviously usually a lot better. So in that sense, it was encouraging, and it's good to see a few players actually trying to get on the end of it and attacking it as well.
It was pragmatic up front as well, Pedro. I didn't think it was necessarily what Koeman wants to go into the season with. Obviously with Lukaku injured, that's one mitigating circumstance, but if you look at De La Feu and Morales, they made the best of what they possibly could. I was surprised and refreshed at the same time that we went a little bit more direct at times as well. There were some balls out from the centre-back and full-back positions that went straight up to the top. Obviously, De La Feu and Morales aren't the type that are going to compete in the air for it all the time. De La Feu was non-existent in terms of challenging in the air to the angst of a few people around me, but Morales certainly tried to put himself about a little bit. I thought... Neither of them played a full striking role for me. It was both of them sort of occupying the channels when they could. And it sort of brings me on a little bit to talk about James McCarthy, because I'm sort of sitting there, as the days and weeks are going on since the first game, I'm sitting there thinking, is this possibly a new lease of life for him? I mean, I don't think he's necessarily someone who'll end up as right wing back throughout Ronald Koeman's tenure, but he did a decent job. I thought he was okay. I thought he found some forward passes as well, which is what was massively missing from his game under Martinez. I think myself, in a bit of hindsight, I think I've been overly critical of him in the past, because he suffered under Martinez probably more than any other player, really. And to see him reinvigorated with a different role in the side, albeit it probably won't be one that he's going to continue, it was good to see.
But just before we come on to James McCarthy, I just want to go back to De La Feu for a moment. What was good about actually De La Feu playing up front was he's been playing here all pre-season. So there's been some kind of foresight into that decision, at least, do you know what I mean? We weren't thrown into the position where in the first game of the season we haven't got Lukaku. At least Gerard De La Feu was equipped to go into that role, which again is something maybe we've not been used to in the last few years. And I thought he occupied the defenders really well. I thought he got it. I know what you're saying there, David, about I'm not challenging, but what he did really well for me is he got into the channels, and that's something we haven't seen. You know, as being a striker is not always about being sort of the big lump that holds up front. You've got, you know, you can hurt them in other ways, And he did that. He got into the channels, and I think that that's going to be really useful as the season goes on. We've seen it last season at Southampton, the way Shane Long really stepped up in the second part of the season for Southampton. And I think Delafay can do something similar. But I think because he's got a little bit more on the ball, he still has to work on his finishing, but because he's got a little bit more on the ball, I think he can find pockets of space, hold up, and then bring other players into the game. So he is a little bit different from what we've got. So I'm encouraged by that. But going back to what you said with James McCarthy, I mean, Matt, a lot of people were questioning where he would be. I think a lot of people were happy to see him out the door. But I still think there's a player there, and I just think he needs to be fine-tuned a little bit.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think in the second season, I remember Martinez talking a lot about him being a box-to-box player and contributing going forward more, and there were signs in that season, especially towards the end of it, when he was playing in that more advanced role. Think of a goal he scored against Man United, where he was bursting into the box and scoring from there. And in the third season, it just didn't really seem... He had a few injuries, didn't he? He didn't really seem to have a defined role on the
side. Never been the same since Wolfsburg.
Yeah, and it's true, probably right. And I think, in a way, it's quite similar to Ross Barkley, in a way that you think he needs to have his game simplified. If you try and get him to do too many things, he seems to struggle with it. I think in the first season, his job was to sit in front of the back four and then cover for Seamus Coleman when he went forward and shuttle back into that position. And maybe just playing in on the right wing back and with an instruction of get up and down the line, stop Spurs getting forward in that position, might have worked out for him. And I think while Seamus Coleman is out for a few weeks, we believe he could be an option in there, especially if we're going to play three at the back.
Paddy?
Yeah, I thought he was much better on Saturday, I have to say. It was interesting, actually. I was speaking about this the other day with a few friends, and what we said was that Martinez was not good for James McCarthy in the final years of his tenure. It was a very restrictive role that he was asked to play, and I think if he's given the opportunity to flourish in a role where he's got less defensive duties, if he can go box to box, then we might start to see a bit more from the kind of the James McCarthy of the first season under Martinez. Matt spoke about that game against Manchester United. We changed the formation then to, I think it was a 4-1-4-1, and he was the box-to-box midfielder there, and that's when he played his best football for me at Everton.
I also think, like Matt, going back to what you were saying, I also think that him having a defined role helps him, and it also helps the crowd understand what he does, because so many times last season a lot of people would just say, what does he do? What does he do? But in the first season you could identify what he did. He was always covering a fullback, and you could see what he did. But last season he got lost in the malaise of the whole season. We were just a mess, and he typified the mess because no one could put the finger on. But playing at right wing back, I think you can now start seeing it. And anyone who watched that game noticed exactly what he did when Tom Cleverley came on, because Tom Cleverley was completely lost.
Yeah.
And that's not... I don't think that's Tom Cleverley's fault. Tom Cleverley's been shifted in a position which... It's right wing-back's not an easy position to play in.
That's funny, though, with Cleverley. You'd think he'd be more suited to that role than McCarthy, wouldn't you, given his history and how he's played for us? You'd think Cleverley would fit more than McCarthy. Obviously, McCarthy's worked on it in training in the days leading up to the game, but, it's funny, the McCarthy situation, because we bang on about how unfit this squad was under Martinez. Yeah, he was probably our fittest player under Martinez. Yeah, he's probably one who suffered the most due to a positional and tactical sort of incompetence from Martinez. So I think he needs to be afforded some time to get back on his feet as a player. And I initially thought Koeman wouldn't have him. He didn't feature heavily in pre-season. And just general sort of hearsay from people saying that he doesn't fancy McCarthy much. I agree with you. I think there's a place for him. I think he wouldn't be in my first 11 come the 1st of September. Hopefully, I'm still saying that. But I still think he's a squad player for us and a useful one at that.
Do you think that could spur him on, though, Dave? In a way, you know, we've had Mo Besic and potentially... who's probably like the most similar player you've got on the squad to him, but he's always been injured. He's never really been fully fit and pushing McCarthy, whereas now obviously Garner's come into the team and had a brilliant debut. Maybe McCarthy's looking across at him and thinking, you know, I've got a fight on here to get back in midfield. I'm going to have to up my levels a bit. And hopefully that's something that we'll see more and more throughout the entire squad this season.
It should give him a kick up the backside without doubt, because first of all, if he looks at him and sees the effort, work rate, how good he is at intercepting the ball just from one game, basically, that'll be a wake-up call to him. But also the fact that Gareth Barry is the man who's been chosen to partner him. I mean, he's pushing on 36 now, and I love him. I think he's fantastic, but if he plays over 30 games this season, I think that's a result of Ronald Koeman thinking that there's no better alternative to him, and I think that needs to be addressed. As good as he is, I just don't think he has the engine. And it's just a perfectly natural thing. It's not a slight on him. I think he's fantastic, Gareth Barry. But if McCarthy doesn't identify that as an area where he can sort of think, well, I could be the natural successor to him here. I've done a lot of his legwork for the 3 years that I've been here. Why can't I be the man that's partnering this new fella? And that's the challenge he faces this season if he wants to get back into his natural position.
I think, if anything, what we've learned so far, though, is I don't think Ronald Koeman's going to look to do that. I don't think he'll play players when they're burnt or unfit.
Yeah.
We've seen that already.
Gareth Barry's a really fit lad.
Yeah, he is.
I mean?
And actually, he'll probably be used... I felt on Saturday he was actually used more sparingly in the final third, where he was thrown in tackles last season. Garner was there because he was everywhere, yeah, wasn't he, at the end of the day? I mean, he had an absolutely fantastic debut, and I thought he really sort of helped the crowd, you know, he spared the crowd on, and he set a tempo. I think that was a really important thing on Saturday, was how the crowd reacted to the tempo we set during the game, because I just thought, you know, the team led it and the fans responded, and even when Spurs equalised, the fans reacted to it, saying, you know, you could see that all the lads were trying, the players were trying, and the fans completely reacted to that, because there was no lack of work rate. And actually, going back to, you know, how we started the conversation, Ronald Koeman saying the players were only at 70% was nailed on. And actually, when we got to the moment, you know, an hour into the game, they brought a second striker on and changed things around, and, you know, we could see our stance get a little bit ragged. Fans suddenly realised, well, actually, the manager wasn't lying to us. He told us the truth. What a phenomenal concept that is.
nice choice of word there, Pat.
He told us the truth. And you know, we're starting off with a bit of trust here. And whatever reason, only at 70%, they will get stronger. And they didn't stop. And you could see that with the amount of players going down with cramp. And Delafay went off after an hour. And he went off for an hour because he'd actually tried, which is unusual for Delafay. So I think that was great, and I think the fans were spared on by that. Anyway, we've come to the end of the first part of the show. It flew over, as it always does. We'll be back right after this.
The Blue Room, Radio City Talk.
Welcome back to the Blue Room on Radio City Talk. Yes, we are back. Well, for the time being anyway, we'll have to wait and see. But we're certainly back tonight. Part two, we were talking about Everton's draw against Tottenham in the first part. We're going to continue that for a little bit. Gents, Stekelenburg in goal. Obviously, we brought him in this summer. Everyone thought, I think everyone still continues to think, that he's probably Everton's backup goalkeeper. But let's be honest, his two save, Paddy, probably kept us in the game.
Yeah, they did. If it wasn't for him, we would have come away with absolutely nothing from the game. We were talking in the Spurs part one that, I mean, 50 minutes, Everton were very, very good, but Stekelenburg needed to bail us out, if you like. The first save from Janssen was fantastic, but I thought the second one was even better.
I thought the second one, yeah.
Because the deflection changed the flight of the ball, and he still managed to get to it. I think we all accept that he's probably the number two in the long term, and Koeman's still looking to bring in a number one. But it was promising to see a goalkeeper like that, but solid, coming out for catches, marshalling his defence. And we've had some rumours over the last few days about Joe Hart, but Stekelenburg's made a case at least to be considered by Koeman in the short term.
Dave, what's it like to have a goalie you trust?
Do you know what? When Janssen got the ball, well, there was a point, I think it was in earlier on in the second half, where I think Kyle Walker had a shot from a ridiculous angle, and it was going to sneak in the near post, and he got down to it, but it was one of those that he probably should have held on to, and ended up rebounding off him a little bit and rolled over the line for the corner. And then I started thinking, oh no, this is just calamity capers again, this, isn't it? I was having flashbacks to Tim Howard star jumps and things like that. And then he caught a couple of crosses as well, which is what we're not used to. And it was a very assured performance. I thought he's not the most vocal of goalkeepers. You didn't see him shouting or anything like that, or directing his back four. And it's lovely to answer your question, mate. It's lovely to have someone who you can sort of pin your hat on and say he's got a chance of saving this, even from point blank range. I mean, Janssen's is a poor finish, I think, but his reactions are just... the reaction time he's got must be less than half a second to get down to that, and he does. And then I agree, the second one from Lamella, the deflection, his body's going in a different direction to what the ball is, and he manages to get a it's really athletic save, actually, which, speaking to a few Fulham fans and a couple of Southampton fans over the summer, he's not necessarily renowned for his athleticism, but it's something clearly he's worked on, and he's thrived.
Looking at our goalie coach, though, you're not going to mess with him, are you?
Oh, yeah, he's scary,
he looks like a villain from an 80s film, action Bomb movie. Oh,
the bench does, the whole bench does. Yeah.
Him sitting next to Dunk, that is... Dunk looks like a genteel man. Sitting next to him, he is a scary dude.
I completely agree. Getting to the core points here, aren't we? But I think with Stekelenburg, I think because he was the, you know, at the start of the summer we were promised this war chest, and everyone thought we were going to sign big players. I think the fact that he came in for a nominal fee and was the first sign, and I think a lot of people were a little bit too critical of him and looked at him a little bit too harshly. I think we need an upgrade, definitely, but he is a goalkeeper with pedigree. He's played in a World Cup final, he's played at Rome, and he was rated very highly there. So as a backup option, I think he'd be a brilliant candidate, and he's shown what he can do at the weekend, obviously, but that's by, because we do need a new number one.
On his first save, it was a great save, but it was the fact that he got up and punched the ball away, I thought was brilliant as well. He didn't just cower on the floor and waiting for the rebound to go, and he actually got up and done something about it. But Paddy, you mentioned there Joe Hart, the, you know, very strong rumours. It would make, for me, it makes perfect sense if Man City are looking to move him on, even if it's on loan. I think personally it makes perfect sense for us to go and look to get Joe Hart. We've been looking to get a signing, you know, a big name signing, you know. Okay, Euros wise, he didn't have a great Euros, let himself down, but he still is the England number one goalkeeper. Of course, that would all change the minute he signed for Everton. He'd probably, you know, that would all stop. But for me, it's an absolute no-brainer. I think he would be a perfect number one for us, because, you know, he's very vocal, says it how it is, and I think he would not only would be fighting to get to make sure he kept the England number one spot, but I think in a way he'd be trying to fight to show he should be City's number one as well. And I think it would work hand in hand, you know. I think we'd get the best out of him, so for me it's an absolute no-brainer.
For me as well, I think he's the right profile for what we're looking at. Is he 29? So for as a goalkeeper, you're coming into your prime there. You could still get, if he signs on a permanent deal, you could still get another 4 or 5 years minimum out of him. He's got pedigree, he's played in the Champions League, and that's the type of player Everton want to be recruiting, if you like. I wouldn't go as far to say it would be a marquee signing, but it would be approaching that for me in terms of his status as one of the league's best goalkeepers.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think something about Hart beside this goalkeeper is whenever I listen to him in interviews or in press conferences, he always impresses me with the attitude he's got. He's, you know, there's times when City have lost games in the Champions League and the interviewer's asked him a question like, oh, you played okay then. He's like, no, that's not good enough for Manchester City. We should be trying to win these sorts of games. And I think as Everton are trying to progress from sort of a mid-table club into a team that's going to be challenging for European places, having someone with that kind of winning mentality and attitude is vital around the squad. And you mentioned there, Ped, about his Euros. I think when a player has a bad tournament for England, they do tend to get tired of a rush. I mean, look at Raheem Sterling. He's, you know, people were slating him, saying he's not going to get in this City.
But
he started really well, hasn't he? He started really well under Guardiola. He was probably man of the match in the first game, and he's had a great game again last night for them. So it's easy to revise your opinions when a player gets so much stick in the press because they've had a bad tournament for England. But looking back over his career, he's been one of the most consistent goalkeepers in the Premier League for a long time now, in a team that's won the league title twice. So he'd be a major coup for Everton, and I'd be delighted if he came in.
I echo what Matt said there. There's a bit of an attitude thing, I think, with him. I think
it's a good attitude, though, I think.
I'm not sure, Ped. I'm not a fan of seeing him slapping himself in the face.
You just don't like goalies? What did a goalie do to you at a young age? Come on.
I don't want to answer that. But anyway, I just I'm not a fan of him slapping himself in the face and getting all worked up and going and all that sort of thing. I think there's a lot of bravado with him that I think is not my cup of tea. Having said that, it's not about that, is it? It's about...
Are you allergic to anti-dandruff shampoo? That's what it is.
I'm a Neutrogena man myself. Okay. as you.
That's what it is. Yeah, that's what it is.
Isn't it
with
Neutrogena? Yeah, like you can buy that in the Lidl.
Listen, Pets, you quaff your hair all the time. So
it's self quaffs now.
Does it just fall into place?
I wake up and just shake it. Yeah, and it just falls into place. It's that well trained, no.
In all seriousness, you know, Joe Hart, a top goalkeeper. I don't think he's actually fulfilled his potential over his career. I think it might be fair to say that, although he's a Premier League winner, it's almost like when we talk about Wayne Rooney, whether he sort of fulfilled his potential, and that's a very, very debatable point. I think Joe Hart, in terms of the promise he showed, I think he's one person who's bucked the trend of promising young England goalkeepers, as in he's gone on to keep his place at a side that is successful. You look at the likes of, I don't know, Scott Carson, all that sort of caliber of goalkeeper who looked very promising at a young age, but just fell by the wayside.
Chris Kirkland,
who's taken time out of the game. I really like him in terms of what he does. He's a very athletic goalkeeper, and he's a shouter as well. Okay, I know it might be a bit of a contradiction that he's hitting himself in the face, and I like the fact that he gets angry all the time, but he's constantly in the ear of his defenders, and I like that. I think we need a bit of that. Tim Howard, you know, that become a bit of a wallflower, didn't he, when it comes to that? And it was a bit of a laughing stock when he'd start shouting at defenders, considering his own performance. So, happy to see Joe Hart. I'd have him every single day. Although, I think I echo many people when I say I'd go and blow the rest of the money on Jack Butland, whatever it takes. But that's just me.
No, listen, I completely agree with. I'd love a Jack Butland or a Fraser Forster. But Joe Hart is available, let's be honest.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
he's available.
Yeah.
And it's something that could fall into our lap very quickly. And it also feels like, though, that this is not a new story. Like, it's been bubbling under. Like, people have been mentioning.
Aren't you surprised, though, Ped, that there's not bigger clubs than us, and I'd say bigger in inverted commas, at the moment?
Where would he go?
Champions
yeah.
League clubs.
Where, though? In this country? Because
all over the place. I mean, you know, there were tentative links with him in Seville as well, wasn't there?
But you've got Chelsea, you've got Courtois, Tottenham have got Lloris, Leicester have pinched Schmeichel down, haven't they? Man United have got David De Gea. So
Liverpool got Mignolet.
I think a lot of the teams
that are curious, haven't they?
That's probably why the tenuous links with him from Liverpool come up, though, isn't it? With that, because Karius is very much an unknown. Mignolet, we know, has got his obvious flaws. Maybe that's why that one surfaced a little bit. I know it's been put to bed in recent hours, like in the last few hours. But I just would have thought, Ped, that there would have been a team higher than the pecking order.
But would City be willing to let him go to another team you got to look from City's point of view. If City let him come to us, we're not a danger to City. But then suddenly we've got a top-class goalkeeper who stops other teams who are competing for the Champions League spot or the league.
Similar to when we got Lukaku, it is exactly the same.
I think it suits everybody, and if it is a loan, then it allows Joe Hart more time to sort of get over the fact that he's not going to be Man City's goalie. I think at the moment he's still in that. I seen a great picture of him last night with John Stones laughing at him, which was quite ironic considering John Stones said that he'd convinced them to sign for Man City. So I suppose what comes around goes around.
Maybe that was just clever on Joe Hart's part. He was doing that to free up some funds. So
maybe we can
go and get Joe Hart when John Stones arrives.
Maybe John Stones was just checking if he was flake free in the picture. let's talk about like someone we have signed. Yannick Bolasie's coming this week for $25 million. It's a strange one, this, because it's not someone I would have linked with a £25 million move, certainly. But I don't think $25 million is the same $25 million it used to be. That might be Brexit, I don't know. But it's not where it used to be anyway. So Matt, $25 million for Yannick Bolasie. Let's just forget about the price tag.
All right.
Who cares? Yannick Bolasie. Sell me Yannick Bolasie. Come on, Matt.
He's fast, strong, skillful. He's exciting to watch.
I mean,
you in already?
Yeah, I'm in already.
There you go. That's it.
I was in at Yannick.
No, but I think there's a lot of parallels here to draw between when Southampton signed Mane under Koeman. I think when he was at Red Bull Salzburg, he was a player who was erratic. He was raw in his end product, and he wasn't particularly prolific. And obviously, Bolasie's stats have been bandied around a lot, haven't they, recently? But what he was fast, he was strong, and he could play in a variety of different positions off the front. And Koeman got a grip of him and kind of refined him. He harnessed the skill set in a better way. And I think if you look at Walsh's background as well, in terms of what the players he brought to Leicester, fast, dynamic, skillful, like Samaras, got the best out of Jamie Vardy, I think it fits for both of them. And what I'm looking at is hopefully the Koeman, once he gets a grip of him, that return will improve, his assists will improve because he's playing with better players as well. And just playing at a club like Everton, which has got a little bit more gravitas, there's going to be a lot more expectation on him, will bring the best out of him.
Matt alluded to his goals and assist return. I think that's the major worry for me in the move. We've spoken of this £25 million fee. Still, even now, I know transfer fees are inflated, but even now, for £25 million, you want somebody that's going to hit double figures in terms of goals and assist. I don't know if he's capable of that, to be honest. What I do know is that he was a long-term target for Steve Walsh. He wanted to take him to Leicester. So he fits this type of player that Koeman and Walsh are wanting to bring in. And we did need another left winger.
I think... Go on, Dave.
Yeah, sorry. I'm underwhelmed and excited at the same time, really, because, I mean, when I've seen him, and I know everyone says on his day, but how often's his day and all that sort of thing, I think getting the consistency is what Koeman's seen as a challenge in terms of, you know, players are bought sometimes on their potential. Well, certainly John Stones has been bought on his potential rather than what anybody's seen over the last couple of years. He's 27 years old, and I personally, when we first were interested in him, I thought he was a little bit younger considering the fee as well. And I think Koeman sees, and Steve Walsh sees, that the best of him needs to be brought out by a person who's not sort of, well, Alan Pardew.
Anyone who's not, yeah.
So yeah, that's the thing, and I think that's where they've seen it, sort of scope to work with him, and that's the exciting part for me. I think if they can get 50-60% more out of what he does for Palace. Also, I think there might have been a bit of a motivational issue while you're at Crystal Palace as well. I think I think he was
under Pardew, Dave. Really?
No, but what I mean by that is, I mean, you've had relatively mid-table mediocrity for a couple of seasons. I know they had a run in the FA.
That's not
Cup.
Mediocrity though. That's success for Crystal Palace.
Well, exactly.
And I mean that in all sincerity. Crystal Palace mid-table is success, and that's why it is a big move coming to Everton, because we're demanding more. So
yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Yeah. He's probably seen that as well. I don't really have to do this every single week. I don't really have to put in 5-star performances all the time, because, you know, just being mediocre will do. Now he's going to be more under the spotlight. I think that's probably where Steve Walsh and Koeman have identified. Well, look, he's lacking a sort of kick up the backside here to kick on with his career at the age of 27. If he comes here, you know, it's a fresh lease of life. We'll get more out of him. He's going to be playing with better players. He's quick, he's pacey. He's exactly what we need on the wing. From that point of view, he ticks a lot of boxes. It's just, it is the consistency issue, like Paddy said, as well as assists and goals. That needs to be upped dramatically when he comes to
this. I think what was interesting when the signer was announced with the Koeman said he's my type of winger in terms of he's alluding to his strength and his power. If you look at the players we've got there at the moment, they're all a little bit flyaway, aren't they? Lennon, Morales, Deulofeu, even though Deulofeu did pull himself a little bit more at the weekend. And I think it's part of a clear blueprint which is forming, isn't it? We've signed players who were much more physically imposing than in the previous regime. You know, the likes of Williams, linked of Kone, linked of players like Witzel and Carvalho all summer. It seems as though Koeman wants to bulk up the side and add a lot more power to it.
And I think the other thing is as well, is that we're taking Premier League players who are the best players for their team as well. So we're also weakening other sides, which probably we hope will be below us, but we're weakening them and strengthening ourselves. One thing I would say about Blassie, I think he missed 10 games last season in the second half of the season, and Palace didn't win any of them. So they were very reliant on him. I think he had 6 goals before Christmas, and then this injury hit, and that sort of... And I think if you're a winger and you can get 10 goals and get double figures, I think you've done all right. Assists, not really his fault, is it? If someone's rubbish in front of goal, I mean, if you're passing it, you know, to some of the strikers...
Connor Wickham, man.
You know, yeah, exactly. And I think just his style of play will really help us, playing on the counter-attack, having someone who can... get us up the pitch 30 yards, Dave. It doesn't have to make a difference.
Yeah, it does, because it's an outlet all the time, isn't it? I mean, it very much goes against everything that was in it from the last couple of years. Even in Martinez's first year, to a certain extent, there were still those periods where games were flat, we were passing it side to side. There was no penetration, and now he's a player that you get the ball to and he's directly runs at defenders. He enjoys that side of the game. You get the ball to him, you know you're going to move us up the field. So from that point of view, you can see why he's an attractive proposition for us. I'd be very, very interested to see how we line up against West Brom, if he's going to start, and obviously if Williams comes in, possibly somebody else by the weekend as well, we don't know. So it's moving all the time, yeah, this team. So that's why I'm sort of taking everything on a game by game basis with these players coming in, because the team next week won't be anywhere near like the team we saw against Spurs.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly what it's like for the first three games, certainly in this window anyway. Anyway, talking about West Brom there, we'll be discussing that game after the break. We'll be right back.
This is the Blue Room. 1 hour, everything Everton.
Radio City Talk.
Welcome back to the Blue Room on Radio City Talk. It is the final part of the show with me, Peter McPartland, Matt Jones, Paddy Boyland and Dave Downey in the studio. West Brom, gents, first away game of the season. Obviously, could be changes. There's a chance for Yannick Bolasie, chance for Ashley Williams to be in the starting line. Matt, I'll start with you. I mean, do you envisage any changes for this game?
Yeah, I imagine both of them will come in, along with Lukaku as well. But what I think will be interesting is the system that he plays. I mean, I was looking beforehand, he only played three at the back eight times with Southampton last season, and I think it tended to be against the bigger, better teams who were going to, you know, try and put you under a bit more defensive pressure. So it wouldn't surprise me if he reverted to the 4-3-3 again here. Maybe push Holgate to right back, Williams alongside Jagielka, and then up front, there's so many options, isn't there? Especially if Lukaku comes back as well. So I think in that sense, it will be interesting. But I think against a side like West Brom, we're going to bunker in and try and limit space in the middle of the pitch. Someone like Bolasie, it's the type of game you're really buying for, isn't it? To give you that X factor on the flank, try and get at the fullback and create spaces in that way. So I'd imagine he will come in, but it'll be interesting to see who plays on the other flank.
Back four is the... Or back five or whatever it ends up being, for me, is going to be the interesting one, because I think Holgate's done enough to warrant to keep his place. Obviously, we talked a little bit about Morey earlier. I think he'd be my one to pay the price for Williams coming in. I think it's a shoe-in for Williams to start the game. Morey would be the one that I'd sacrifice. And then you look at that, and it's a really good back four then. I mean, Holgate, obviously, he's still a relatively unknown quantity in Premier League terms. Coleman's out injured, but you look at the other three, Williams, Jagielka, Baines, very, very experienced back line. And then all of a sudden you're looking at us thinking, hang on, we should never concede many goals here when you've got players like that. I know we were scratching our heads with Martinez, but obviously with Koeman's defensive nous and experience, you would expect that lineup to do very well defensively. So I'm confident that we won't concede many, if any, against West Brom. The midfield area, like Matt just said, then it is crucial. The West Brom will try and pack it out. They'll put in a couple of yard dogs as well, try and kick us about. I think that's where Idrissa Gueye will come into his own. I think he'll really thrive in a game like this. He'll love that battle. Especially, who's the one they've got? Is it Jakob?
Yeah, just boots people for fun.
I think he'll enjoy the challenge of that. And if he doesn't get sent off, I think he'll pick up a booking. I'll be back in that at the weekend. All midfielders on the pitch to get booked. And then up front, I think Bolasie will come in. Lukaku starts. And then I think De La Feu will go to the bench and he'll play Morales.
Interesting, Pat.
Just going back to the defence a minute, I think the game is ideally suited to an Ashley Williams type. West Brom away, they're a big, strong, physical side. Let's not forget, we did concede from a cross at the weekend against Spurs. Yeah. Eric Lamela is not the best in the air, actually, is he? So the likes of Jonas Olsen and Gareth McCauley attacking the ball is enough to frighten any Evertonian, I think. Is Ashley Williams ready, though? He came back late from Wales duty at the Euros. He didn't play a pre-season game for Swansea, I believe. Is he ready to go into the starting lineup? That would be my only...
I think he said, well, I think he said at the fan event last night he was ready, didn't he? I believe he was ready to play when the manager was called upon him.
I think he'd say that if he had one leg left, though, wouldn't he? That's the sort of type of player. I mean, remember in the Euros he had a broken arm or something, didn't he? And just carried on playing as well. So I think he's always going to say that. But Koeman's estimations were 10 days when we signed him. So I think he'll be ready, and I think he'll give everyone a shot at the
I think it's the type of game where you can throw him in, though, because, you know, as you've just been saying there...
We won't get him done for pace, will we, at the back?
Well, I mean, Rondon, I think he'll have a little bit more about him this season, having a season under his belt. I think he scored last week, didn't he? So
linked up Barcelona today, him. Big surprise, yeah.
Honestly?
Yeah, yeah.
I saw Aruna Kone linked to Barcelona a few weeks ago.
That's as bad as that fella saying Lukaku's going.
Is
this the ice hockey team? That's the fella who's saying Lukaku's going for 30 minutes.
It's the internet, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, I think it'd be ideal for Williams and Holgate. I think that's a very tight defence. It just starts to get difficult in midfield, which I suppose is exactly what we want, isn't it? McCarthy played last week, played well, but then you think, well, you know, if he's not playing five at the back, does he have any right to go into that midfield? Or does he, you know, as we mentioned a little bit earlier, Gareth Barry, does he come in and does he play the away games? You know what I mean? Because you think about an away game, you think, and it is going to be all action. Maybe away games will be the time when Gareth Barry isn't required.
I think he'll keep him in the side, definitely, for these first three anyway, just while the, like, might be players moving around, might be new faces coming in. To have him and his experience and his consistency, you know, I thought he played really well again on Saturday. Had a brilliant game. So I think for now, I think he'll keep him in there just because of his nous. And I'll be a big surprise. I think the midfield will be pretty settled for me. I think it'll be Barry, Garner, and then Ross Barkley as well in a three. I'll be very surprised if McCarthy managed to muscle his way in there after the way those three played.
The Barkley one was interesting, wasn't it? Because he, for me, looked like the one who was most flagging after 60. Against Spurs, I thought there were times when he was out on his feet and he come off, didn't he, towards the end, Barkley?
He got cramped, didn't he? Yeah. But he got like a second wind during the game and I thought he looked a lot stronger.
Yeah.
I mean, they've had another week of double sessions. I believe they were in Sunday as well. They got Monday off. So they've been working very, very hard. And I think that's just gonna get stronger and stronger and stronger with the fitness. I think that's something... He demands it, doesn't he? When you have got options and when you have got people on the bench and when you've seen new players come into the club, you know, those, if they don't react to it, I mean, listen, Ross Barkley to Ronald Koeman's nothing, is he? He's just another player. I mean,
There's no egos there now, is there? Because Koeman is the ego. I mean, some of the things I've heard that he's implemented are quite sort of regimental and quite militant.
He's just a disciplinarian and he just expects things in a certain way. And when you go... Well, what did you do with your career? Oh yeah, I scored the winning goal in a Champions League, and I won the Euros. Yeah, sound. Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah, I better listen.
Still
want to
go back to Chelsea, Rom?
I better listen to you. So from that point of view, no one can really argue with them, and I think it's a perfect opportunity to pick up 3 points. I think West Brom against Crystal Palace, they got the goal, and then basically shut up shop as you would expect a Tony Pulis team to do. But you know, We normally do all right against West Brom, certainly down there anyway. So I think we should be going down there and expecting 3 points.
Yeah, without doubt. And I think they should take encouragement from last weekend's game, because you mentioned there it's always a physical battle, isn't it? The Hawthorns, you're always expecting to have to head a lot of balls away. You're going to be in a lot of midfield battles. You're going to have to fight for every ball. And I think going toe-to-toe with Tottenham in that sense and doing pretty well against another team who play in that sort of way with that intensity should bode well. And I think we did see signs last week of Deulofeu and Barkley, who obviously last season were non-existent at times off the ball. There were inklings that they're more willing to do the dirty work and get involved in that side of the game. I mean, I can think of Barkley charging into the box and towering above Toby Alderweireld and winning a header at the end of the first half and putting slide tackling in the corner at the end of the second half as well, which he got cramped from. So I think there are signs that they are willing to do a little bit more of the dirty work, but this game, away from home especially, will be a big test of that.
Yeah, I'd back us to go and win, Pez. I think we'll feel confident going into it with the new additions as well. There wasn't a feeling of any panic as well on Saturday. I mean, the crowd for me it was great when everyone come out and all that. But when the game settled down, there was obviously a cautious optimism about us. And I think on the back of that game, I think you're going into it now thinking, hang on, we can get the bit between our teeth quite early in this Koeman regime here. Initially, I thought this will take a while, and it will in certain aspects of it. We've seen, you know, we weren't perfect in the second half. The fitness again is a big issue, but I think we can still pick up points while we're in transition here, particularly with the fixes we've got as well. I think I don't have a problem with us playing West Brom away, and it would be a difficult match, but I think we've got the capabilities and the tools to go and beat them comfortably. And I feel that will be the case whilst we're making this transition, because my initial fear was it would take us a while. We'd be at six and sevens all the time. And now I'm buoyed by what we've seen on last Saturday, and I've got every confidence that we'll go there and get results and continue a decent run whilst we're still recruiting players.
Yeah, a big thing for me, Paddy, is that I don't think we have to worry about having possession in this game. I think we can let West Brom have the possession and then give it to us. And then with players like Lukaku, with players like De La Feo or Morales, certainly Bolasie, we can hit them on the break and hurt them. And I think that's really key. Whereas this time last year, we'd be going there thinking, what are we going to do with the ball? And even them being the home team, they'd look to have taken it off us and hitting us on the break.
Yeah, well, we're starting to see a different Everton shaping up now. If you look at the profiles of the players we've brought in, Bolasie's very much a player you'd use on the counter-attack. And like Ped said, we can sit in. That was pleasing for me against Spurs. The defensive shape and the structure was much more solid. We seemed to know what we were doing, and there was a confidence and a calmness about it. OK, Spurs had the ball, but there was never any panic. And for me, they scored off their first meaningful chance of the game. And if we sit in against West Brom, they've not got as much to hurt us in that respect. Mm-hmm. Hit them on the break with Bolasie, De La Feo and hopefully Lukaku. And we should get the 3 points. Certainly for a side with aspirations of a top six finish, that's what we need to do.
Just an interesting one. It might sound like a stupid question, but do you think Lukaku will definitely come straight back into the team?
If he's fit, he will. If he's 100% fit, yeah.
I think for two reasons. I think just because he gives us something up front that we don't have otherwise, and I think also because I think the manager's probably scared of losing him, and we probably think if he's fit, he's got to play. You know,
I know what you're getting at.
You know what I mean? I mean, yeah. Don't get me wrong. The player will never dictate, but I think it's a mess. I think Koeman said it last week. He said, "I've got no control over the situation. If the board want to sell him, they sell him," which is a very grown up way of looking at things. Yeah. You know, that's good because the manager just uses what he's got, and that's good because that works for the whole thing with the Steve Walsh thing. Mm. He's prepared to just. It means they're not going to clash over that. But I think he's got to make it clear that he wants the player and he is going to play him. And not that I'm thinking the club are going to sell him, but I think he'll use him and I think he'll play him. And maybe if De La Feo had put that ball away last week and made it 2-0, then maybe it'd be a little bit different. But he didn't, and I think that leaves that position very, very open.
I just thought it was interesting the way those three up front interchanged last week. And although, listen, it's not going to click into gear straight away, is it? Because none of them have really played in those sorts of positions before. But I just thought it was interesting the way that they pressed well and they harried after the Tottenham centre-backs. And I think if you've got Lukaku in there, he's not really wanted to do that kind of thing, is it? But maybe he'll put the onus on to go out there and say, right, you've got to press these West Brom centre-backs. You've got to work as hard as De La Feo and Morales did last week and expect that another level from him. So it'll be interesting to see how he does.
It'll be a case of Rom, in a sense, adapting his game to the way Koeman wants to play. Really, we've seen De La Feo's willing to put those hard yards in. Is Rom able to do that as well? I don't know. For me, if he's fit, he starts, just because the team's perilously short of goals without him.
Yeah, I think he'll start. We'll find out Saturday. And we're going to be back here next week, 6:30. Tell your mates the Blue Room's back on the air and we're not going anywhere. We're going to lock ourselves in this room. We'll see you next week.